Music, among other things.
Music among other things.
Hey everyone, I'm Sean.
And I'm Neil.
Welcome to Music Among Other Things, or MEOT for short, where we chat to musicians and creatives about music and the worlds that orbit it. Or this week we're actually going to be talking to just two mates of ours about a few things. We've got Aaron and Rich, and those who are day one MEOTers will know them from the sort of start of the podcast. But we are going to be talking about songs that aren't as they seem, aren't we, Neil? We're going to be talking about lyrics that are misinterpreted and things of that nature, really.
Underlying meanings of songs that you might not have realised at first.
So I reckon we should just get straight into it.
Let's do it.
It's become a real catchphrase of yours, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Oh, fuck.
Let's do it. No, I like it. It's good.
I'll just start with like a cover of Burning Love.
I mean, that sounds beautiful.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
I think that's a great way to start. Thanks for that, Richard. Good to have you back after the Coldplay doc.
Yeah, I mean, that was just my favourite thing ever, so obviously I've come back.
Did you enjoy the link I sent to you earlier?
Yeah, for a few reasons. The fact that Coldplay fans are called Coldplayers.
Is that right?
Well, I mean, it said it on there. Did you not even watch the video you sent me?
Maybe say what it was.
Yeah, that's a point. It was cool. I haven't got my phone, but it was like a compilation of Chris Martin topless.
Yeah.
Not videos, well, just pictures, just like a slideshow.
A really slow slideshow.
Yeah. Yeah, and one part of it was like for like 30 seconds of still shots from one like video where he's like taking a shirt off and putting it on stage, but I did it in still shots. The most boring thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, he got World's Sexiest Vegetarian in 2005. Do you know that?
How?
What do you mean, how?
He was second.
Well, apparently, I looked at an article, said it's actually run by Peter as well, which is obviously a serious organisation, but it says close competitors are Josh Hartnett, Morrissey, and Toby Maguire.
I like his cheeky little earring he used to have. What else did he have? Yeah, so I can't remember what album it was, but they started wearing like old, like soldiers' uniforms and stuff, didn't they? What was it? Like ex, like French Revolution stuff. That was pretty hot.
That's pretty hot. Yeah.
Hot.
I can't stop thinking about the. I think you posted it, Sean, on the Instagram account, but like it was Coldplay before they were famous and they're absolute nerds.
Yeah, they're they look proper gawky back in the day, don't they? It's quite hard to believe that one day one of those guys would be sexiest vegetarian. I thought it's quite weird that they do like World's Sexiest Vegetarian. Like, I wonder if there's any like other diet related hotness charts, like World's Sexiest Lactose Intolerant.
I was going to say the same thing. Lactose intolerant is just the most unsexiest thing ever, isn't it? So, yeah, I went for that.
It really is.
What about sugar addicts? Like, I could definitely go for that.
Yeah.
Why isn't there like sexy meat eaters? Like, why is it a bad thing to be a sexy meat eater?
Well, actually, do you know what? Chris Martin would no longer be eligible for that prize because he's now not a vegetarian. I read in his Wikipedia.
Cool.
That's what I do.
He's gone back. Gone back to the old red meat.
Vegetarian or what?
Yeah, I think he's gone straight back into the meat, man. You know, he just
<for long>.
Just loving it.
Once you have a little nibble of a bit of red meat, that's it. You're gone. You're in. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Aaron, it's great to hear your voice again. And actually, on the topic of Coldplay and yourself, I completely forgot this detail when we were going through the doc watch the other week, but when we went to see Coldplay, you were one of the people there, and I totally forgot that you were on heavy morphine for that entire day. Because you had like some operation beforehand, right?
Yeah, it was literally like couple of weeks before like a big back operation, and I was in absolute agony and was still trying to like live my life and tried every drug possible. And then the last thing was like, we really don't want to give this to you, but like, it seems like you need it. It's morphine patches. So it's like, great. So this was the day of the Coldplay concert at the Emirates. So I like just strapped one of them on me before I got on the tube, and it was hell, absolute hell. Like, yeah. I just remember like sitting in that tube, just looking around, spaced out, and and then I like ripped it off, and then it was like, it must be what they call like cold turkey or something, you know, like I was just sweating and dizzy, like, oh god. And then the pain come too much, I had to put another one back on, and oh, that was mental. But yeah, good gig.
Was it sort of, did it have any impact on your experience of the music itself? Was it like taking a bit of Mary J before going into the concert?
Not really, no. It was just a weird day, wasn't it? Like, we went to that hardcore Arsenal pub, met some absolute characters in there, then went to this gig. You know, the place where you probably wouldn't expect a lot of piss to be chucked all over you is a Coldplay concert, and that happened from from one of our good mates. So like, it was just a series of unfortunate events that day, but it was good. Like,
that's a header of a review, isn't it? And actually, you're one of the only people I know who've actually been to a gig in the past year and a half. You went to see White Lies. Tell us about
White
that.
White Lies, yeah, it was awesome. It was so good. I went on the Monday, and it was so good, and I got a little bit too excited that we booked again to go on the Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah, it was cool. It was kind of surreal, actually. It was really nice because, weirdly enough, White Lies was the last gig I went to before the lockdown.
Damn,
so I saw them at... Yeah, saw them at Brixton. So they headlined there. And then they played this tiny little venue in Camden. I can't remember what it's called. The Dingwalls or something?
Yeah,
Dingwalls. Amazing venue. Really, like, tiny, small. So it was good to see them, you know, from headlining to, like, doing some little local gigs. But, yeah, it was amazing. And just even going up to a bar just to get a pint to bring it back to where you're standing and asking people to, like, move out of the way and stuff was an experience as well. But yeah, awesome, man, really good, can't wait to see more.
You know that song Death?
Yeah, they opened with that.
Yeah, do you know what it's about? You probably do because you're a hardcore fan.
Not really. I was actually going to use that for one of our for one of the topics today.
Bring it up now, man, because we're talking about songs that aren't as they seem. So
well, go on you do it, because I didn't actually look it up, but
Neil, I feel like we spoke about a song like a few months ago, I think I recall. Do you know what it's about?
What, this White Lies song?
Yeah.
No, not a clue.
It's like Death Fear. So the song itself is about his fear of flying. So if you like listen closely to the lyrics, it's like a look.
Because it's when we lift off, isn't it? Yeah. Nice.
So like, once you know that, though, it's like you can't stop hearing it. It's quite specific in a way. But also you can take it as one of those things where it could just be about death and life itself, man.
I find that with a lot of these meaning songs, though, like once you actually know what they're about, everything makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of puts puzzles together. And I like the, you know, having a bit of, you know, mysticism about it and not quite knowing exactly.
Oh,
what
no,
it's
I
about.
Like black and white, man.
Give me the bloody real deal, man. But have you guys got any sort of misunderstood lyrics that you've had in the past, or any lyrics that you, I don't know, thought were otherwise and then suddenly had a realization that actually it's this?
I think a lot of it depends on like how you hear them in like the creative art space as well. Like, you hear Every Breath You Take by The Police, for example, you think that's such a romantic, kind of lovely song, and then you actually, you know, read into it and it's about like almost being stalked or something, and it's actually a really creepy song now, but like everything about the song becomes really creepy when you listen to it, and it's one of those. But a lot of it depends on how you hear these. Like, I think I heard that song in like some I don't know, some like sitcom or something. It just sounded really nice for that romantic moment, and then you read into it and it's just, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. It definitely is about the context of stuff. Do you guys know, because there's quite a few famous ones where the sort of songs aren't as they seem, the lyrics are actually, it's usually when the lyrics are like quite a lot darker than they actually appear. Mm, do you know this Perfect Day by Lou Reed, what that's about?
No.
You know, on the surface, it's sort of like a love song, but allegedly it's about heroin. So it was came from a period where he was like deeply into the drug. And, you know, it's like, it's such a perfect day, drink sangria in the park, when it's dark, we go home, etc. So there's this basically theory that it is actually about heroin. And obviously I think it's sort of accented a bit because it was in a Trainspotting film in the scene where he like ODs. So there was this rumor flying around. I think a lot of people obviously think of that scene and that song particularly. But apparently he said it's not about heroin. But he's quite a hard guy to read. I don't know if you've seen an interview with him, but he looks absolutely terrifying to interview. It's weird, actually. The Vatican actually got in trouble or had a bit of like a controversy when Lou Reed died. So there's this cardinal called Gianfranco Ravasi, and he was the Vatican's culture minister, and he tweeted a lyric from Perfect Day. And because the song's widely regarded as being drug related, he sort of got like all this backlash from Catholics and the church and stuff like that. So he actually had to like clarify, actually, yeah, I don't condone drug use and stuff like that, which, you know, this should be your interpretation, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it should have been sort of taken on.
So he's never actually confirmed that it is about heroin. So have you just technically made that up?
Well, there's a lot of theories flying around. I'm not the only one. But he did say in an interview, he's like, I don't object to that reading, but he's like, but for me, the perfect day was just being in the park with the girl drinking sangria, which is quite sweet.
Shooting up.
Shooting up, might I add. Yeah. Do you know much Lou Reed, Aaron or Rich?
Not really. No. Never really got into it. I only know that song, obviously, because that kind of reminds me of a kid. I remember it being massive. And the video, I remember the video coming out with like loads of different celebrities or something. I think it was like a re-release. Yeah. Maybe it's for like charity or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. But no, I never got into him at all, actually.
I need to send you a playlist in response to your Iron Maiden one that you sent me. Because you've been listening to rock, man.
Yeah, getting heavy.
You know, on the Iron Maiden?
Yeah, bang into him. Like, no idea where it's gone from. Yeah, like really, really into him lately. Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Weird. I've been getting really into Slipknot.
Oh, but really? Because Joey Jordison died or?
No, I've been listening to him like full on for the last maybe like 4 months.
I swear we mentioned him, didn't we, in the Coldplay episode. I can't remember what context though.
I don't know. I can't remember. But I've tried to just forget that Coldplay episode. it's interesting because I feel like a lot of people I've spoken to kind of the similar as you, Aaron. Like they're saying they're getting into like heavier stuff for some reason.
Yeah, maybe it's a dad rock thing. Like as you approach 30, you just instantly start listening to Iron Maiden and like Def Leppard and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've been getting into them, and I've always like known Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath, but kind of, you know, like skimmed over it. But been listening to some Black Sabbath as well. Yeah, don't know why. It's actually really good, Iron Maiden. Like I thought it would be a little bit too heavy for me, but it's not at all, actually. It's quite like it's just like heavy rock, really, than like metal or anything. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, really good. Good song.
I went on Iron Maiden's plane once.
I was telling Ruby about it. I was telling my girlfriend about this, that like the lead singer flies them around the world when they go on a world tour. It's amazing.
Yeah, he gets off stage and gets in the cockpit. It's pretty crazy.
How did you get on that?
So it wasn't even like anything to do. Basically, we were coming back from Portugal, and I think the Iron Maiden plane was a Monarch or something, Monarch Airlines. So it was actually just used as a passenger jet. So there's all these people just looking at this, like, sort of skeletal thing with like a pickaxe on the side, which isn't the most inviting thing for an aeroplane.
Like whatever it's called. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought, obviously, like so many just like families on there, and just there's nobody like proper excited about the fact that it was Iron Maiden's plane. But yeah, I don't know much about the how he got the pilot's license to that, but I feel like if you've got like the adrenaline of doing a show, I don't know how you'd fare behind a cockpit. To be fair, I don't know if I'd be comfortable with somebody.
Because they give it some as well. Like, they're all getting pretty old. Like, they're 60s, 70s odd. And and they're still doing these crazy shows, like, you know, running around. They're all kind of like Mick Jagger, you know, like running up and down the stage and stuff. It's impressive. Like, it really is. But yeah,
how happens you fly a plane after that, though? Like, I get back from, like, you know, playing a wedding or something. My ears are ringing and I'm like, I can't sleep, and I'm just like wired. He must be nuts, and his ears must be ringing much worse. They'll be like, "Yeah, we're crashing." Like, what? the plane's crashing. You are.
Yeah, Jesus, man, it's quite a feat that. Aaron had quite a good idea that we do a live investigation of a song that is famous for being not as it seems. I think I just sent you guys the lyrics for Tom Jones' Delilah. Have you got it?
Right. Yeah.
So I haven't actually like read these at all, but
okay.
Let's have a little read.
Nor have I really. But it's one of those songs that like everyone screams at a wedding or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
No
one knows no one even knows the lyrics apart from Delilah. So that'd be interesting.
Just
shall
a chorus,
I take
it?
A verse.
Go on, Rich. You take the first verse, mate.
I saw the light on the night that I passed by her window.
Right.
I saw the flickering shadows of love on her blind. She was my woman. As she deceived me, I watched and went out of my mind.
So he's
my Delilah.
So
why Delilah?
So he's outside. Seems like there's an affair going on of sorts. His woman's with another man. So it's already a bit creepy, and you already gone into that absolutely jubilant, ecstatic chorus.
Yeah, and everyone's already screaming, "Come on!"
Neil, why don't you go from the next verse, mate? I could see. I think that's how it starts.
I could see that girl was no good for me, but I was lost like a slave that no man could free. At break of day, when that man drove away, I was waiting. I crossed the street to her house, and she opened the door. She stood there laughing. I felt the knife in my hand, and she laughed no more.
All right. Uh-oh.
And then Aaron.
My
Jesus, that is...
I've never even registered that before. That even like, because knife you'd think would stick out, you know.
It's crazy, so weird, absolutely crazy. So he's just like murdered her, basically.
I'm just thinking back to like times that Tom Jones come on the telly singing this.
Yeah,
my nan and my dad is there.
Everyone's
going,
singing along.
Oh, Tom. Oh, he's good, isn't he? Oh, look, a beautiful voice, beautiful. He's like, I got a knife in my hand, and
she left more.
Oh, beautiful, Tom.
What's the is that all of it for the verse? Yeah, God, that's a weird way to end it. And then he's like, my Delilah, why Delilah? So before they come to break down the door. Oh, okay. So it's like the popo are coming to get him.
God. Forgive me, Delilah, I just couldn't take anymore. She stood there laughing. I felt the knife in my hand and she laughed no more.
It's weird because when you like just read out in that tone, it just sounds like a Radio 4 drama or something. Do you know what I mean? Like if it's Tom Jones, it sounds bloody beautiful. But that's like, isn't it used quite a lot at football games or something, or like sports events too?
Yeah, I was trying to think. It's definitely at sports events. I can't remember where, but I've heard it a couple of times now that it's, you know, it's been shouted out and stuff. But like kooky, really weird and dark, isn't it? Yeah, it really is.
Proper weird. Yeah, I don't know if he's ever commented on like the contents of the song.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone's picked it up.
Yeah, I think it wasn't written by him. just looking on the old Wikipedia.
I just searched My Delilah is weird. And the first article that comes up is Tom Jones says critics shouldn't take Delilah so literally. it's pretty fucking literal lyrics.
I mean, to be fair, it's like, I guess if your song has become really huge and it's like inescapable, everybody knows that song, but it's a really dark lyric, you can't exactly bury it away, can you? You sort of just got to try and defend it to a degree. I mean, to be fair, it's good. Obviously, it depends what you're after. In it, it's like, I guess, like Nick Cave wrote that album Murder Ballads, is quite a lot of storytelling his, so obviously it is a storytelling song, so it's not like, it's just that I don't think many people are aware of the actual sort of themes and topics of it.
But yeah. Well, the melody definitely takes away from the dark thing, like you don't even think it's a dark song. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From the harmonies going on and the melodies that he's singing.
Yeah.
So instantly you're set up to not think it's dark.
Yeah.
And then all you remember is the chorus anyway.
Yeah, it's a nice little trick that, isn't it? But did you know Jack Johnson's, you know Jack Johnson Banana Pancakes?
Yeah.
Yeah, smoking. Gee. That's about smoking a fat J.
Really?
Yeah, it's yeah. If you like reading the lyrics a bit, you can definitely see it. Mm. But that's a little nugget for you all. So I know we've all chosen songs that aren't as they seem. Aaron, do you want to tell us what you went for?
I chose Golden Brown by Stranglers. Yeah.
All right.
Did you guys hear it beforehand?
Oh, yeah, great song. One of my favourite ever songs, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, always loved it since I was a kid.
Yours is the only one I couldn't come up with a intelligent... Because I guess the point of this game is to kind of look at the lyrics ourselves or to hear the song and then try and guess what the underlying meaning is. But Golden Brown's the only song I couldn't make it like a...
Oh, really?
An informative guess. I just don't know what it's about. The only thing I kind of guessed is maybe it's around some sort of hurricane.
Ooh, interesting.
I mean, clearly I'm wrong.
Go on.
Just because...
But yeah, where did you get the kind of the hurricane
so
stuff from? Yeah.
If you just ignore the insignificant lyric of golden brown texture like sun, there's a lot of references I found just like, I don't know, just, I don't know, like throughout the night, no need to fight because you already know it's coming kind of thing. Every time, just at the last, as in like, it always leaves the same amount of disastrous shit behind. Through the ages, she's heading west, just like, I don't know, it's travelling west.
On the compass,
I don't know, I just got hurricane vibes, like that calm before the storm.
Damn. Nice. I did not see that at all.
No, nor me.
I take a punt, and then Richard can as well. I feel like cause it's golden brown, just based on the title alone, really. Is that it's about heroin.
Ooh. Sean's the winner. Sean is the winner. Yeah, it's about heroin. H. It's about it's about H. Golden Brown is that. And it's about how it's gonna get. Apparently it's about a girl and heroin, but like yeah, we'll go with the heroin one. But yeah, it's about how they both provide you pleasure, basically.
Right. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. And because heroin comes from like exotic places and stuff like that, right? And yeah, like comes from far away and all that.
I did read the lyrics to Soph, and she guessed drug related issues. But I asked her for more. I was like, "Well, can you be a bit more specific?" She was like, "Just drugs."
Yeah.
So drugs, yeah, man. I didn't get that. I didn't know Golden Brown was a reference to heroin.
But great song, love it.
Oh, yeah, great.
One of my favorite.
Fantastic song
and great drug.
I guess it's like never a frown with Golden Brown's quite like
always picking you up, right?
Yeah, it always feels like an advert, like an old school advert as well. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like in a poster. Yeah.
Never just a frown. Like a fake tan product.
Yeah. That's That's an interesting insight. I didn't really know that.
Can you just edit out the shit about the hurricane? I feel like a bit of a cunt now.
No, it's good.
I mean, so do I.
No, to be fair, though, songs are up for interpretation, which is what we're doing now. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, at least it shows that we didn't look it up, unlike some, Kerwick.
How dare you? Let's do yours, Neil.
Okay.
Tell us what you're doing.
So my song is Here Comes Your Man by the Pixies. Right. So did everyone know this before?
I did, but I mean, I can tell you what I thought it used to be. I just thought it was about a girl or like waiting outside a girl's house. Like I just took it for what it seemed, basically.
And again, I think the context, like, because the first time I heard this was in 500 Days of Summer when he does that karaoke song in a bar and he sings this song, and Zooey Deschanel has a cover of it herself, I think. But yeah, so it sounds like quite a romantic, quite a chilled, you know.
And it's quite chirpy, right?
You what, sorry?
Yeah.
It's quite a chirpy tune.
Yeah, really
upbeat.
I'll take a guess, because this is one of the ones where I actually couldn't really think of, I wasn't really sure on the angle. I think it's about a hurricane. No, I'm joking. I'm guessing it's like crime related, because he's talking about the face turning blue. Like, I feel like it's almost like a hitman situation.
Nah. Aaron?
I really struggled with this. I knew the song previously just because it's like quite catchy, but never knew it was the Pixies.
It's quite a different song to what they usually.
Yeah, because obviously, the other one they're famous for was like, bit kooky. I really struggled with it, man. I also thought it was about like romance and, you know, obviously the girl bit. Yeah, and that was the only kind of lyric I really picked up on about being cold or whatever. It was like blue in the face or something. Yeah. So it's like maybe like homelessness and he's lost his girlfriend or something, but that was about it.
You're a lot closer.
Oh, damn.
And Sean, you're also quite close with Hurricane. So he was asked about this, and it's actually about homeless people traveling on the trains who die in a California earthquake. A lot of the lyrics you see refer to homeless people, like you know, out by the fire breathing. You just have that image of like a, you know, that tin box kind of set alight in the street, boxcar, which is like those kind of like, you know, those parts of trains that you like historically see in films, people like trying to jump on and shit. There's a lot of references to almost this story that he's created. And then the actual line, here comes your man. So I think in war times, when they used to send the bodies back to like loved ones and families, it's quite sick actually when I was reading into it. The drivers used to like say on the announcer, like, oh, here comes your men, sort of thing. Like, you know.
Oh, right, really?
Here they are. So it's almost a reference to that in some respects as well. But yeah, I had no idea when I was looking it up. I saw the song. I loved the song. And I was like, okay, I had no idea that was the true meaning.
Yeah, because I guess here comes your man. Again, it's one of those with a really catchy chorus. So you just take the Here Comes Your Man thinking it's going to be a romantic song. But that's another little red herring, that one. I quite like that.
He grew up like in California himself, and he survived quite a few earthquakes, and it was a really bad one when he was 15 that he remembered. But so I think he grew up around quite a lot of earthquakes. But
Black France,
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
But, yeah. Weird song. I don't think I would have ever guessed that, to be honest.
Yeah,
You know what? Pixies are great with their meanings and stuff, and like when you read into the songs, you know what DeBaser's about.
Go on.
Do you know that tune, DeBaser?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, listen to it. It's based on this film. Oh, who was in it? I think Salvador Dali was in it, and the film was called Un Chien Andalusia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of the lines he says,
And yeah, he just basically runs off the imagery of that, like slicing up eyeballs and stuff. It's a really dark film.
Damn.
Black and white, silent film. Hmm. Yeah, again, I just listen to the chorus and you just kind of just sing along with it because it's just a fun tune.
You don't think about the lyrics, do you? Or even...
No, you're like driving down English country roads singing it to yourself because it's nice.
Yeah.
And you get into it, like, Christ.
Yeah.
It's well dark.
It's funny reading some of these comments on like songmeanings.com for this Here Comes Your Man, loads of different interpretations. Like some people thought there was loads of references to like atomic bombs, and this one guy is just but I think it's about when Lou Reed's drug dealer finally shows up. Here comes your man.
Oh yeah, because they got I'm Waiting for the Man, innit? That's one of the Velvet Underground tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good reason, I think.
So there's a lot of like links to that as well.
I tell you what, I do mine next and then we'll do Richard's. So I chose Richard Hawley's Hotel Room. What were your guys' interpretation? Let's start with Richard.
Oh, God. I need to go back to this for a second.
Was I the only one who's never heard this song before?
I hadn't either. But I really liked it, Sean, when I listened to it. I loved it. Really loved it. Yeah, such a nice tune.
Yeah, I think for those who don't know as well, Richard Hawley is a singer from Sheffield, quite closely associated with Pulp and that world. He was in Pulp for a bit, but he's had quite a lucrative solo career as well, especially in the last 10 years or so. And he's very close with the likes of Alex Turner, and he's been a big influence on him, essentially. You might have heard his song, Open Up Your Door, in a Haagen-Dazs advert.
Open up your door.
Like a real crooner sort of vibe, quite old school.
He's kind of got that like rockabilly vibe as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like his guitars and stuff. Like, and he's got like the teddy boy hair and stuff, like 1950s kind of vibe.
Yeah, he was going to be in a Morrissey's band at one point. I think he auditioned or something, but you could sort of imagine that hookup as well.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, definitely. Like James Dean wannabes.
Yeah, exactly. That's a beautiful song. Richard, shall we choose someone else to give the reading of it?
No, it's fine. Yeah. I mean,
go on.
My first impression of it was maybe it's about like kind of like himself, like growing old of yourself, sort of being stuck like in a room with yourself.
All right. And, interesting.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I kind of got that vibe.
Was there anything in particular that made you think that, or just the vibe of the song?
No, the lyrics. So like you and I locked in the gloom.
Yeah.
Lost out of love again, but I've got you here with me, my friend. I don't know, I just feel like maybe he's talking about himself.
All right. What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I think I just had drugs on the brain listening to all these songs because I knew what Golden Brown was saying. So because I had that at the back of my head and I was thinking, you know, here in my arms, I was just thinking about injecting. I was just thinking about injecting.
All right.
Yeah,
or something.
Interesting.
And like how that's the comfort for him. But yeah, that's all I was getting it. But it didn't really suit because it was such a beautiful song. And I was like, well, I hope it's not about injecting a load of smack up your arm. But yeah.
That sound like it, though. I'd like to retract my previous analysis.
Was that?
And
go on.
Because Aaron's just makes so much sense.
What about you, Neil? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I had two. So I thought maybe a heroin addiction, but because the same reason as Aaron said, here are my arms. And he's almost talking to it like it's the only thing he kind of loves in this world now, which is quite sad, but beautiful. and then the other thing, which I thought might be a bit too obvious, was just like a cheeky standard affair, really. Like, 10:30 in this hotel room, you and I locked in the gloom, like these people are clearly unhappy in their relationships maybe, and it's like the one place where they meet and happy again. Last time I looked, it was 9. You know that all things then were fine, which...
Or a prostitute, don't really make actually.
Sense. Ooh, yes, that could make sense.
Yeah.
That's
a good
one.
Hit me. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I'll take that.
Fuck you!
Go on, right. Sean.
Well, I can only say the H strikes again, man.
Really?
So Aaron and
the hooker, yeah? The hooker.
The hooker. No, yeah, it's about heroin. So he was a big heroin user back in the day. I think he had quite a few like down years in it, but it sort of came out the other side of it. But it's quite an interesting song because, yeah, it's like, here on my arms sounds really romantic. But the only time he ever alludes to it in lyrics, because it could just be read as a beautiful romantic song, but the only time is that right at the end, he says, here in my arms, here in my arms. And he says, put you here in my arms, here in my arms.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only line where you could think, actually, why would somebody put that? It'd be a weird phrasing if it was a human. You know what I mean? So there we have it. The heroin strikes again. It's weird that drugs always seem to be the sort of underbelly of these sort of songs that are quite widely celebrated, even though the British Hawley one isn't probably as big as Golden Brown.
Yeah, I think as well when it's like you see the line, like you know that it's like leading a mild life sort of thing, that mild life implying, I just thought of like, you know, going, you know, oh, fuck's sake. Like Wolf of Wall Street, it's hard to kind of go sober when you're like, used to so much shit.
What you guys just said about prostitutes reminded me of this anecdote when I was in.
Fuck you, Patrick.
No, it reminded me
of my first time. Actually,
it reminded me of the police, Roxanne, because although it's quite obvious in that. I mean, because you said you'd have to sell your body to the night and speak about the red light.
You don't have to put on your red light.
Yeah, actually, it's quite obvious that one.
Yeah, silly, really, silly, Sean.
I thought I was onto something there, like the police being like renowned for having these lyrics that are misinterpreted.
Did you guys ever listen to that Boomtown Rat song?
I knew about that one before. I kind of briefly knew kind of like what it was, and I just couldn't think.
Yeah,
I won't spoil it because Neil and Sean might not know.
I guessed from lyrics. Some sort of like school shooting.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head there,
but I thought it was quite like not obvious, but I just read lyrics of Pumped Up Kicks when you sent that to me, and that was around like literally the same thing.
Yeah,
which is really weird because you think of Pumped Up Kicks like ding 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 ding, it's so happy, and then it's like if you actually read the lyrics, it's so obvious. You're like, oh fuck. But and then that came through from Sean. I was like, oh shit, this has got to be like the same topic. So it's more timing, to be honest.
It's like, I can't remember what year it was, but it was a girl who, like, went and had, you know, shot some people at school, and then they asked her why she did it. She's like, well, I don't really like Mondays, so trying to lighten the day up.
Wow, okay, I didn't know that bit. Jesus.
Yeah, so where he's saying like, tell me why. I don't like Mondays.
That's right.
That's kind of like them asking her.
Fuck's sake.
That's a response. Yeah.
That's creepy.
Great. Yeah, it's another one of those, isn't it, though? Like, catchy chorus, and you just. Because who does like Mondays? Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like you're just literally going to sing along with that. But it's even. Yeah, it's even deeper when it's like it's actually a quote from the person who did it as well. Yeah, again, another one of those like proper dark songs with a. Really catchy chorus. Yeah, I don't know anything else by the Boomtown Rats apart from that song, though.
No, no.
I hadn't even heard of that song. I don't like Mondays.
Oh, really? You know? Do you know who's the singer?
Go on,
Bob Geldof.
Oh, okay,
Bobby G, man. Yeah, but yeah, I had literally. I don't know if they are they worth checking out. I literally don't hear anybody talking about.
Probably not.
Nah.
Leave that one.
Get into Iron Maiden instead.
Aaron, when we were talking earlier, I think you were talking about the story behind Black Sabbath's Iron Man, right?
Yeah. Neil, I would imagine you're into like the Avengers and Marvel and stuff.
Oh no.
Could be wildly off.
Couldn't be more wrong, mate. Although I do really love the Spider-Verse animated film.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah.
That's like one of the only ones I like. But no, not really into Marvel. Why?
No. No, just because
I'll tune off then.
No, just who is it? Black Sabbath. Yeah, I've got a song called Iron Man, and I think it's actually used in the films.
Oh, nice!
It's a really good riff, and everyone thinks it's about Iron Man. Like it was written in the '70s or the '80s or whatever, when like the comics were out, and it's actually not. Like, yeah, it's actually not about Iron Man. The bassist, the guy called Geezer, his actual name. The Smokes so much Mary J back in the day. Hence the song Paranoid, which is all about that, him getting paranoid.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Iron Man is about this crazy. Yeah, read the lyrics after the podcast or whatever. It's actually quite dark. It's like this weird dark sci-fi story of about like this guy who's trapped in like an Iron Man suit, you know, like Man.
Yeah.
Is kind of like an old torture device in the medieval time, and he's trapped and he's trying to tell everyone the end of the world, but everyone keeps laughing at him and taking no notice, and then he turns evil. And like blows up the world, and so it's really weird. It's really weird, but it's actually a tune though. But like the lyrics are super dark, and everyone's like, you know, all these kids watching Iron Man going like, "Yeah, Iron Man,
yeah,
who's saving the world?" And it's actually the opposite in the song. Yeah.
He does. He turns mean, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Now the time is here for Iron Man to spread fear. Vengeance from the grave kills the people he once saved.
Yeah.
Damn. Wow.
Go.
Yeah. Guitar solo.
He's no superhero. Put it that way.
Damn. I didn't know that. I think either it's like true or it's like a really good alibi when they got slapped with a lawsuit from Marvel. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, definitely.
That's the sort of story where it's like, so there's too much detail almost, and you're like,
He was like, yeah, I was into sci-fi back then. I didn't really read Marvel. We were too poor to read the Marvel when I was a kid. I was like, okay.
Okay, then. All right. That's crazy. I definitely need to do some more diving into like the world of Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden that you're getting into.
Yeah, I'm skimming the surface, but so far so good. Yeah.
Excellent.
I love it when I'm reading into like lyrics and stuff, like, cause you know, everyone always talks about Lucy in the Sky of Diamonds. So it's always about like LSD and stuff. And it's always funny when you see people just like shut these great things down. So I think John Lennon came out ages ago and was like, yeah, it was actually written about my son and a painting that he drew.
Yeah.
So it's like actually not about LSD at all. It's just about like stars in the sky.
Yeah, you could let
and
that.
And a bird called Lucy.
You could let that simmer for ages. Just on your deathbed, just say, actually, no, it wasn't about that. But I think the Beatles probably played up to quite a lot of stuff as well, didn't they? Like, isn't there like a whole thing where there's like Paul is dead said backwards on a song somewhere on the White Album? Like, but they were definitely playing around with that, I think. But what?
So with Led Zeppelin, isn't it? Stairway to Heaven.
What was it?
Apparently, if you play that backwards, it says something like, it's like a whole verse of, you know, following like the devil's path and all this stuff.
Damn. Really?
Yeah, apparently. There's all sorts of things like that.
Really? Jesus.
I like that sort of hidden track sort of thing.
Yeah.
As well. If you look at, do you know the band Tool?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So their album, 10,000 Days, has got like a. So there's like a main track that's quite long. And then if you take two of the other tracks, put them together,
jeez,
and play them at the same time as the longer one, it makes a whole new song.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that must have been like a really tricky thing to pull off as well.
Mate, they're nuts. Like, if you want to get into like hidden meanings in songs and stuff like that, get into them.
Yeah,
because they're like really mathematical about it all as well. They're geniuses. Like, it's nuts.
Yeah, I was just reading this Stairway to Heaven one. It's like, if there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. If you play that bit backward, like Rich says, it's, here's to my sweet Satan, the one whose little path would make me sad, whose power is Satan.
Mental, isn't it?
It's quite scary, actually.
It's sort of weird.
Yeah. Glad I got you boys with me.
It's weird. There's some Led Zeppelin songs that refer very specifically to characters in Lord of the Rings. You know the song "Ramble On." Aaron, you're a bit. You're
Ramble On. Yeah, brilliant.
Because he's got like he actually mentions Mordor and Gollum in it. 'Twas in the darkest depths of Mordor I met a girl so fair, but Gollum and the evil one crept up and slips away with her. So Gollum had it off with his girl.
Yeah, I heard that a lot. There's like three or four songs that are all about like Tolkien's world. I can't think of the other ones. But if you like Google, but there's like three or four that are all about Over the Hills and Far Away or something like that. I think they've got one called that. Ramble On. Unbelievable.
Because I always wonder where, you know, heavy metal and hard rock always have that element of mythology, or it's always associated with people with beards, and people who like rock really tend to like those medieval or folklore films.
Themes. Yeah.
Big and time. I wonder if that's, because I know Led Zeppelin was sort of a starting point for a lot of that style of music. I wonder if that's why it sort of all came from that.
Like, I thought that with when I was looking up at the Iron Man, Black Sabbath stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, like a lot of those fans are into that kind of sci-fi fantasy kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, that actually makes sense. Like, it's interesting. Yeah, those songs were Misty Mountain Hop, and I think the Misty Mountain was like, I think that's in The Hobbit. And then the Battle of Evermore as well is another song they wrote about Lord of the Rings.
After the Taylor Swift album, Evermore.
Pure dedication.
That'd be a sick reference. I think we should do some more digging on that, the sort of metal and like folklore world. I think that'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, did you guys know that the Beatles were going to make a Lord of the Rings film back in the 60s?
Oh my god!
Because you know they were making all of those like, Hard Day's Night and stuff, where they were films, but they weren't really didn't have much plot or whatever. Yeah. They were just out there because they were so popular.
Just the Beatles.
But yeah, they were going to do a version of Lord of the Rings.
That's mental.
And I bet this year, because you know Peter Jackson's doing a Beatles documentary, they're going to mention it somewhere along the line because it's like quite a cool little hookup.
Tolkien was probably alive then, wasn't he? Like 60s or something. So, like, I wonder how he took it. That would have been probably the opposite of what he played.
Yeah, it's like we're going to have Paul McCartney playing Frodo. It's like, sorry.
I suppose because there are four of them, right? And in the Fellowship of the Ring, like the four hobbits.
Yeah. I wonder if they were going to play the I'm trying to find some detail on it.
Epstein is fucking Gandalf.
is that actually written down somewhere?
No, I'm just saying like that was their manager that propelled them into
that's a great shout though. Sorry, I'm just trying to Paul McCartney would play Frodo, there we are. Ringo Starr would star as Samwise Gamgee, George Harrison would play Gandalf, and John Lennon would play Gollum. I mean, it's such a shame that didn't get made, though.
Yeah, imagine that could have made or break. That could have broken. That could have been an absolute car crash. You know, complete make or break time.
Yeah, I just seen like Stanley Kubrick was approached to direct this Beatles.
This is an absolute car crash.
I mean. Can you imagine just like 2001 A Space Odyssey, one of his other favourite films, Lolita or something, and then Lord of the Rings starring the Beatles. That's fucking crazy. Man, this is a whole episode in itself. Well, guys, it's been a great chat. I think we've developed two more episode ideas after this as well. One, inspiration to folklore and heavy metal, and two, we should go deep on this Beatles Lord of the Rings film. I think there's a lot of content there, and also before we go, Jack Johnson's Banana Pancakes is actually just about banana pancakes. I didn't want anybody to go away and actually think that was a thing. But you can imagine it though, right?
Yeah, especially his kind of vibe, like surf Hawaii vibes, banana pancake. Yeah.
Right on. Love it. I should have let that simmer, see how long it went on for.
Yeah. I feel unbelievable.
Well, Aaron, great to have you back on the pods. Let's get you on again soon.
Yeah.
Rich, same to you. Great having you on again, man.
Cheers, mate.
And Neil, catch you for the next one, man. Say bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye.